So good to see all of you here this morning. I was really down with a really bad throat infection in the past 2 weeks. So I want to apologize if it feels like I'm trying to catch my breath. And it's not COVID, thank God. I tested like twice every day to make sure it's not COVID. So yeah, I want to apologize if I have to take a pause and just relieve myself during that time. So, today we're going to talk about this thing. What's your game plan? And it's been something that's on my mind, especially right now because we are in the middle of 2022 already. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. You know, these are the words that are commonly used, right? If you attend a motivational talk, if you attend if a leadership talk, business talk, they would firstly ask you about plan. What's your plan? Having a plan is like taking the first step that we can initiate to reach that goal. It's like a roadmap that we have, right, to reach a destination. It's a core formula for a successful business venture. And perhaps it's even a vehicle that carries our vision to fulfillment. And for us as Christians, as people with a purpose, it is a means for us to help us achieve our Christian goal or our purpose in life. In the beginning of this year, I believe that many of us have got to set goals and plans for ourselves, and myself included, because I set a little bit of some goals for my job, set some goals for my personal lives, set some goals for finances, my family, and my spiritual life. And we're halfway through 2022, so quickly, after stepping out from, you know, this season of getting locked in for 2 years, I'd like to ask us, where are we today? Where are we with those plans? Or perhaps those New Year's resolutions, where are we at? And let me have a show of hands as I interact with you guys today. How many of you actually did set resolution as you begin this year? I want to lose 20 kilos of fat. Oh, no one set resolutions. Come on, really be honest with me. Like, how many of you like set resolutions this year? Yeah, couple of hands. Okay. And I'd like to ask you, where are you at with those goals? You know, it doesn't have to be like those like really, really spiritual ones. It doesn't have to be like major ones for your life change, just simple ones for some people, especially who are who have health problems, right? You would definitely want to set a goal for yourself, or your doctor would definitely have set goals for you so that you can take a step closer to receiving your healing. Or for some who are, you know, who maybe have things that you really, really want to do this year, and you set a goal for yourself, right, to help you reach that. And so when this year began, I actually set a goal for myself, and it's this: to attend church every weekend as a family. Okay, number two, to work on my character, anger management, patience, to love my family well. And the other goal that I set was to reach out to the 6 neighbors that live on the same floor. And the fourth goal that I set for myself is to love Jesus and the people around me well. You know, of course, I made sure that they are smart, right? Having gone through some of these leadership training, and they always tell you your plans have to be smart. It has to be specific. It has to be measurable. It has to be attainable. It has to be relevant and time specific. And some of you might ask me, how do I actually make a smart plan about my character because it doesn't seem to be measurable? Let me say it's very simple. If you look at the face of my wife and she looks unhappy, you know that I'm not doing well in my character. That's supposed to be funny, right? If you look at my wife on a Sunday morning and she's not properly dressed and her hair is like frizzy, we are both looking angry, of course, like something not good is happening. And those are some things that I use to measure myself by how well I've grown as a person, as a husband, as a father, by by really like looking at the growth on my wife, like how have I impacted her positively? Like many of us, you know, I believe that I'm doing pretty okay with some of those goals, and some of you may have set goals for your work, for your career. Try to relate towards that, right? But we fail, right? There are plans that we have set, there are goals that we have set that we fail in. But let's talk about it. Like, why, what are those goals? And why are we failing in those things? And as we talk about this resolution, game plan, I'll be using those words, plans and goals, interchangeably to help communicate certain points better. I'm going to invite all of us to read the scripture together with me. Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 4 and verse 9. Let's read together. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seems pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. And verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Father, we just pray today that as we talk, as we discuss, as we think about some of these things, that your Spirit will fill our hearts, your Spirit will fill our minds, Lord. We pray that you would do things right here in this place beyond what my voice can do, beyond what I can motivate us to do, beyond what I can exhort us, encourage us to do, Lord. Father, we pray that you would draw all men towards you as we listen, as we discuss the scripture today. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Setting goals is a spiritual discipline. You know, although it's not explicitly written in the Bible, it is a spiritual discipline. And allow me to explain why. It's not just a good idea. It's not just an activity that we do. It's an act of stewardship. A steward of the gift, of a steward of gifts that God gives to us. Plans. It's an act of worship, setting spiritual goals. It's an act of discipleship in the way we relate to one another. And it's an act of fellowship in the way we love one another. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and He will establish your plans. It is Christian to have plans. And what do I mean by that? You know, planning and setting goals, it might feel like a very secular, a very work kind of idea, but it's very Christian. It says that commit what you do to the Lord. Commit what you do and He will establish your plans. And it affirms us again that God is with us in our plans. And God can be involved in everything that we set out to do, with our family, with our personal lives, with our work, with our career. And allow me to say this, that in our lives now, God is the end goal. God is the end goal, but He's also in the journey. You know, we always think about when we die, we get to heaven, we get to be with the Lord. And all that's good, right? That's the chief goal of our life as Christians. But yet, on this earth, there is purpose for us. And God is with us in this journey. We're not living this life for ourselves. And when we die, we don't just disappear or turn into a wisp or into a wandering spirit. Before God restores this earth to its full glory, every day that we live close towards that. And every day that we live, God brings us as people, as His people, closer together as individuals and also as a community. And Jesus said that there are hallmarks that define true disciples and the fake ones. Like real disciples know what we need to do. Fake disciples just appear to be doing what has to be done. And these are measures that Jesus would use to define who are the people who deep down love Him, as He calls in Matthew 25, the sheep. And on the opposite side, the goats, the people who just appear to love Him, but do not do what He asks us to do. We have a purpose in this life. Excuse me. We have a purpose in this life. And as people who confess our faith in Jesus, and if you don't believe in Jesus yet, allow me to exhort you that there is much to gain in living a Christian life. And I'm going to explain why. As disciples of Christ, we are called to firstly love God, okay, with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. This is like our great commission, right? And then to love others as ourselves. And then Jesus also commands us in Matthew 28 to make disciples of all nations. And these are three points that mark the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, right? A believer of Jesus and not. You love God, you love people, and you make disciples. You call people to be more like Jesus. We are not just existing beings. We are called to a purpose greater than our careers, our aspirations, our dreams, even though those are good things. And we can plan and live out our, you know, even though we have a lot of focus on our work and our business and all that, but we can actually live a purpose and meaningful life on this earth. And we are given this choice, right? And I like to say this, we can waste our life, we can spend our life, or we can invest our life. You know, in this world, we are around people like us, people who are our friends, people who think like us, people who maybe behave like us, do the same things that we do. And we are all given these choices in our lives. We can waste our life, we can spend our life, or we can invest it. And allow me to explain what I mean by that. You see, I can be really good with my work. I can be really successful in my career, doing well in my business, or I can be a very good housewife. But I can waste my life away by, you know, doing things that do not benefit me or even harm others, like drugs or alcohol abuse, or, you know, for men, you know, women, you know, wasting money on women or whatever things that it is that you're obsessed with. So we can waste our life away. This life that's been given to us. One life, we can waste it away. Or we can spend it, right, on maybe some of the, you know, not so bad things. Things that I like, guitar, or fishing for some of you, or golf, or Valorant, or whatever it is that you guys are playing. Or, you know, just spending all your time on Korean drama. And it's easy for us to fall into that trap, right, where we just spend all our remaining energy of our lives after work on these kind of things. But in light of what we see in eternity, we can also invest in things that will last. You know, those things are not wrong, you know. Those things are not wrong. Doing enjoyable things, doing things that we like, doing things that makes us feel happy. You know, those are little joys, right? But when we are obsessed by that, when our life is governed by that, then when we think about it, like we're really wasting or spending our life away, right? Or we can invest on things that truly matter in light of eternity. When we set goals, when we set plans, when we have resolutions, New Year's resolutions, we are putting a framework to our plan to become a disciple of Christ, to invest in what is to come. Because at the end of the day, God is still coming. Doesn't matter how we live our lives, doesn't matter we live our lives right, we live our lives bad, God is still coming. And when He returns, and when He sees us face to face, He's going to ask us, what have we done? What have we done with our lives? Have we planned well? Have we set right goals? Have we prioritized right? And you know, like how we're Asians, most of us here are Asians. And I begin this sermon by saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And you know, to Asians, right, this word failure and fail is such a taboo word, you know. Right? No? No? Cannot fail. Like, you're Chinese, you don't fail in math. Or you're You're Asians. You're supposed to one up your friend. You're supposed to do better. And I was so afraid of failure when I was a kid. And failure back then, it was measured in my results lah. You know, of course, I didn't speak a very good English when I was younger. My math was horrible. Don't even ask me about my science. And it was so bad. And like, I will remember coming home with my report card and be so fearful because I know that I know retribution is waiting, my mom. Retribution in the form of my mom and a cane. And how we Asians, we're like, oh yeah, we've got to outdo my friends. You know, you play music, you're going to play music better than your friends. You want to do sports, you're going to do sports better than the guy who's living beside you. And we're so good at all these things, you know, at imposing all these things on our children or even on ourselves to one up other people in all these things. But allow me to ask us this question today. Have we one-upped one another in the way we love Jesus, in the way we live our lives, in the way we love people? At the end of the day, if we do well in everything, career, job, finances, like even your hobby, you do so well, like golf, you know, you have a hole in one plaque at your home. At the end of the day, if we actually do all these things really well, but fail at one most important thing, which is to live our life meaningfully, which is to live our life with purpose, which is to love Jesus and people well, what will our life amount to eventually? Will we be remembered by our career? Will we be remembered by our success in ABCD? Will we be remembered by our hole in one? Perhaps maybe the golf club will have your name there. But that's it, right? At my funeral, I want to be remembered as a person who has loved Jesus and loved his friends well. So what's our plan? You know, there are four kinds of people in this world, right? And as I share this, maybe you can feel yourself relating to some of these types, or maybe some faces will come to your head. And there are four kinds of people in this world. The first kind, people who make things happen. People who make things happen for their life, themselves, whatever. Okay, people who make things happen. Number two, people who watch things happen. You watch as people do and you talk about it. And maybe the third type would be people who have no idea what's happening. You're like, oh, I have no idea. What war? There's a war? There's a war in Ukraine now? And number four, people who criticize people who try to make things happen. What kind of person I am? Do I make things happen? Do I just watch people do things? Or do I actually have no idea of what's happening? Or am I constantly criticizing people? And Proverbs 16:9, I'm going to point us back to the heroes of our faith, the early fathers, you know, that have done and planned well, who really made things happen for themselves, who really made things happen for their generation. And in Proverbs 16:9, it says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. God is in the process with all of us here today, and God was in the process with all of them. He establishes the steps of those who fear him. And I'm gonna point us to one prominent, well, a few, but one mainly, one prominent figure in the Bible, and his name is Joseph. Joseph was a master planner. Right? In Genesis 41, it says that he recognized that wisdom and discernment were the gifts given to him from God. You know, even though he was so wise, he had so much discernment, he knew everything that was going to happen, but yet there was so much dependence on God. And also at the same time, eagerness to do well in the new role that Pharaoh has installed him in. So basically what happened, right? Joseph, he was put in jail for whatever reason. Long story short, One day his talent for interpreting dreams was needed in Pharaoh's court, and he appeared before Pharaoh and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and he said this: there's gonna be 7 years of famine and 7 years, sorry, 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. You've got a plan for that. And basically after Pharaoh has heard about Joseph's discernment, he assumed that, okay, you know, nobody could interpret my dreams, nobody could tell me all that is going to happen, but since you could, I'm going to put you in charge. You're going to help me. You're going to help me make sure that we have enough. You're going to help me plan. You're going to help me govern my country. And so Joseph, who has never held a political position before, who has never been in the king's court before, who only had experience in telling on his brothers, in being the spy on his brothers, and he was hated so much, and he has no idea how to govern a country, and he had to pick up, right? He had to learn legislation, communication. You know, you negotiate, you arrange logistics, you arrange transportation. He even had to learn agriculture. And all that to fulfill the purpose that God had for him. And can you imagine if I were Joseph? Well, I am Joseph, but I'm not that Joseph. If I were Joseph, if you were Joseph, like, can you imagine if you are put in that position and you have no plan? No plan. And we think that, okay, like, it's okay, right? Like, for someone in high position, he has plans, good for him. For someone like me in quote-unquote no position, low position, it doesn't matter if I don't have a plan. Wrong. Because back then, like when God was calling the patriarchs, he was calling them to form one story. He had a purpose for some of these individuals to be a part of that big story. But today, he's calling all of us to be a part of that big story. All of our lives, all of our individual circumstance, wherever we're at, he's calling us to that big story. And there are so many more. You know, there's Moses, there's Jacob, there's King David who logistically planned everything for King Solomon to build God's temple. And then there was Nehemiah whom God called. And he planned really well. He called the people together. He did all the logistics. And they set out to rebuild the walls. I call us to be intentional because God is intentional. God is intentional. And Proverbs 16:4 says that the Lord works out everything. Okay? The Lord works out everything to its proper end. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord works out everything. God himself has plans. He has plans for this earth. He has a grand plan for his family, you and I. He has a grand plan for each individual in this room, each one of us. And we see God's master plan and genius, right? Even not only today. And some of us might have really good testimonies about God's goodness today, but when we open the Bible, when we flip to Genesis 1, we see the genius of him in creation. Of how he ordered the days to be. Of how he ordered creation to be. Do you think that could be done without a proper framework? And he created mankind, all of us, with all our differences, with that master plan. God has a goal for himself. God has a goal for this world. And God has a goal for you and I. So what's your game plan to reach that goal? You know, some of us go through the flow, you know, and we chill and cruise in our life. We let our relationships be. We let our family be. We even let our career be. And some of us don't make conscious decisions, or maybe stopped making conscious decisions to grow in these things. And same applies to our spiritual walk, right? Oh, Jesus cares for me. I just let go and let God. Let go and let God. But, you know, even though that's a good thought of surrender, but let's explore what that looks like. You know, for every action that we take, we can do it actively or passively. Okay? And let me draw some context here, right? How many of you are single? Okay? Single people. You know, when you want to date or you look someone and you look at someone, you really like that person. But there are two things that you can do, right? What do you do if you like that person? What do you do if you like someone? Need some help here? For the married people, for the successful people, what do you do when you like someone? Sorry? You approach. What else? What do? What? Say hi. What activities you plan? Nothing. Wow. You ask for a phone number. Good. Thank you. These are good things. You ask the person out for a movie, right? You're like, hey, nice shirt. Nice shirt. You see this person wearing Stranger Things. Want to watch season 4 part 2 together? That's how you initiate, right? So you can, when you really like someone, you make plans, right? You maybe make an active step of pursuing. Or we can actually be passive. You know, I have friends who tell me, they're like, wait, that girl, I really like her lah. But I like her lah. So what do you want? And he's like, you know, Joseph, I wait. You know, I wait lah. I'm too shy to initiate a conversation. I'm too shy to ask for a number. I'm too shy. I don't want to do. And when I tell him, no, dude, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. Take action. And the guy will be like, no. I'm pointing at him because like, the guy is my good friend. Just disturbing him. You got to take action, man. And some of us actually fall into the trap of being passive. And not only the context of dating. Think about work, right? You know, some of us want to advance to the next step of our career, and we can take an active role by asking, "Hey, I want to advance to this step. I'm gunning at this role. Is there anything that I can do?" You ask your manager, right? You ask your supervisor. Is there anything that I can do to equip myself, to make myself be in consideration when you want to appoint someone for this role, right? That's what you do, right? Or maybe you upskill yourself. You ask your boss, hey, I really want to grow this year. I want to help us achieve our plan for the company this year. What can I do right now to upskill so that I can perform my job better? And these are things that we can do actively to help us grow and progress in our career, right? Or we can be passive. We can be passive by saying, hey, I think I've done pretty well this year. I think boss saw what I did. If he's looking for someone to fill that position, I'm sure he would think of me. I'm sure he would think of me. And next thing you know, your colleague is being considered for that position. That's the context of work. What about our faith? If I want to grow in my faith, do I passively sit around and hoping that God would somehow do something for me, make a miracle happen in my life, or maybe send an angel to appear before me? And although God sometimes does that for certain people, for certain circumstances, He does not do that every day. He does not do that for everyone else. He does not do that for everyone. In fact, because that's what faith is about, to believe and pursue the one whom we do not see every day. To love the one whom we do not see every day. Even in the Bible, He only appears to certain people. But that doesn't discount or abscond the others from loving and knowing and believing in Him. So what do we do? What can we do to actively grow in our faith? If I want to know God better, I set goals for myself. Make it a habit to read the Bible. You know, you turn on the Bible app. There are so many Bible reading plans. Look at Own It 365. You read the whole Bible by the end of the year. Those are plans that you put in place. And if I want to grow in loving others well, and you know, if people give me a feedback and say, hey, Joseph, I don't think you love people well. So what can I do? I need to meet with people often. I need to eat and pray with them and be around them. And if I want to serve and feed the poor, I need to learn how to cook, right? And I need to cook well. You know, you don't want to serve bad food for people. You don't want to cause people to have diarrhea after eating your food. You know, same applies for those who want to serve, you know, in worship or in church. Like, you make an active plan to grow in your gift, hone your gift. As I close today, as I challenged us in this spiritual discipline of making goals, making plans, you know, I understand that, and I know the realities for some of us that, you know, we have stopped doing this for ourselves. We have stopped desiring to grow in our spiritual faith. We have stopped desiring to even grow as a person, some of us. You stopped making plans, or you actually can't be bothered. And allow me to say that I really understand, because I think there are points in my life and even points in this year where I just feel like, you know what? I'm done, I'm done with growing in my character. I'm done with growing as a person. I'm done with this. I'm done with that. I'm done with being patient with my family, with my wife. I'm done, you know. And there are reasons why I believe some of us are done with ourselves. Done with ourselves. Done with growing as a person. And even growing in our faith. You're done with it. And there are seasons in my life where I really felt strongly that I really don't want to do it anymore. And I could identify that there are three main causes to those things. And I want to invite us to maybe take a pause right here, because as I'm speaking, as I'm praying over all of us, you know my deepest desire is that if we all leave this place not remembering everything today, my prayer is that God will touch every one of our hearts today. And that's the most important thing. When we come together like this, when we come to sing, when we come to have food together, when we come to talk. And my prayer is that as we leave this place, as we drive home, you can bring back nothing except this. I pray that you would bring back that little exchange that you have with God today. So I'm going to invite us to maybe open up our hearts and open up our minds if that's needed. Open up our minds. If God is bringing certain thoughts, certain memories, certain things to your mind, and if God is bringing those things to your mind today, maybe commit that to Him and give it to God. You know, there are three reasons why we've stopped doing all this. You know, we've stopped growing as a person. We've stopped growing in our faith. And the first reason, I believe, is this. We're jaded. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is the tree of life. You know, some of us have prayed, you know, and really wanted something to happen in our lives. Or some of us have prayed and really wanted something to happen for someone in our life. It could be a healing. It could be for God to save that person. It could be someone who's really addicted to drugs and you really want this person to get out of that. You really want this person to grow. And maybe you're praying for some of your spouses, your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids. You're praying for their salvation because you know that without Jesus, they can't go through what they're going through, and you're praying for their salvation. And some of us, maybe you pray for a certain breakthrough in your life, something that you've really struggled with, even anger, Right? And when you see that some of these things, some of your prayers are not met the way you want them to be met, you get jaded. I get jaded, disappointed. I got angry, became hopeless, and I pinned my blame on God. You promised me this, you promised me that. You said you would do that for me. Because you did not, I will fill in the blanks. Broken relationships. Some of you are not talking to a sibling now. You know, or there's like a dispute, quarreling over family inheritance. And you've been praying and you've been wanting for peace, for restoration in those relationships. And it doesn't come the way you want it to. Or maybe contending for sickness for someone you know. And it's not happening the way you want it to. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But sometimes we hope for things to happen our way, but not the way that God wants it to happen. We see sickness. We see conflict as a stumbling block. And, you know, we see all the negative things in this world as evil, which is true, but we rarely come to that conclusion, right? We rarely draw that conclusion that perhaps some of these bad things just point us closer to God. And what if some of these small mercies what if some of these bad things that happen to us are small mercies that God extends to us so that we can grow in our faith? And as I was just talking to my wife about some of these things, I just had that song come into my mind last night. It's by Laura Story. And it says, what if our blessings come through raindrops? What if our healing comes through tears? What if the difficult situation that we're going through is part of God's plan to bring healing into our lives? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if those nights where we can't sleep are just signs that point us towards God? Who would be near to us? The second reason why we've gotten lazy. You know, we think we're retired or we're done with our career, or you're at a point with your life where you're just lazy, you don't want to serve, or you don't want to do stuff, you don't want to reach out to the people around you. You've gotten to the point in your life where you're just lazy lah. I'd rather be watching Netflix lah. I'd rather be playing game lah at the end of the day. You know, I'd rather do my gardening lah, do my planting. But you know, I just want to commend some people in this church, because you know, if we actually come in on a Saturday afternoon, you will see stuff happening in church. You'll see people getting ready to worship, to practice for worship on a Sunday. Or if you're downstairs, you'll actually see Boys Brigade happening. And behind all of these, right, are people who are hardworking people in this church. You know, the worship team people, I want to commend you for really putting the time and effort to be on time, to practice, so that you can help everyone sing together. And there's this hardworking group of men and women that I see on a Saturday, you know. People like Francis, Lena, Casey, and I met Lone yesterday. And these are people, right, who can do whatever they want on a Saturday afternoon. They can go shopping with their wife. They can, you know, I don't know what someone that age would be doing on a Saturday. But they can do like 1,001 things, right, basically. But they choose to be here every Saturday. And they tell me, you know, when we sit down, they tell me, you know, Joseph, like this Boys Brigade is so meaningful. We help these kids. We help them with discipline. We talk to them. We get to reach out to them. And this is what they do every Saturday. Every Saturday. They're always here. We can get lazy, lah. And, you know, start to spiral in our life. And before we know it, bam, 10 years, 20 years gone. Just like that, just doing nothing. And the third reason why we stop growing is content. We are content. Content not in Christian content in the sense where we have godly contentment, you know, where the Bible says it's great gain. But content, contented with what God has given to us, all the good things that God has given to us, but we forget to look at the person who has given them to us. So, which one are we? Why have we stopped making goals to grow as a person? Why have we stopped making goals to grow in my spiritual life, to grow as a better father, to grow as a better me, as a better husband, as a wife? Some of you can be housewives and really achieving God's purpose for you in that vocation that you do. It's not about the position or how big a position God puts you in. That being said, I think the role of a mother is big. It's awesome. And it doesn't matter where God places you. And for some of us, even in places where we don't like to be, stuck in a company, doing job that I don't really find meaning with, stuck in a role where I'm like, I'm supposed to be doing something greater, just stuck where you're at. But allow me to say this, where you're at is where God has placed you. And where you're at is where God will work through you. So if you're struggling with these things, being jaded, being disappointed, looking for a career advancement that's not coming, being just lazy or content, just happy where you're at, I'd like to make us uncomfortable and allow God to, you know, just really reach down to that part of our hearts where we don't even show the person who's closest to us. And just allow God to bring that up and say, hey, like, let me heal this. Let me restore this. Let me make good out of this bad thing that you have, that you think is a stumbling block. God has an amazing plan for our world. He has an amazing plan for this church. He has an amazing plan for Malaysia or whichever country that you come from. And we can choose to waste our life. We can choose to spend our life. Or we can choose to invest in it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. And just as I was speaking, I just felt your tenderness, your tender heart, your love, your compassion for us. And God, I thank you because you understand us. I thank you because Jesus has been through a lot of these things that we've been through. Betrayal, disappointment, hopelessness, anger. And Jesus has been through these things. And God, I thank you because you understand and you want to make good come out from this bad thing or this negative thing, these things that we feel that's holding us back in our life. And God, I thank you that even when we have become hopeless, even when we have stopped believing, we've stopped hoping, but God, you never stop hoping on us. You never stop believing and you never stop calling us, even today, Lord, even today. Even today, I know that God's calling some of us. He is calling some of us by our name and He's saying, hey, come on, let's get up, come on. come on. Let's do this together. Come on, I still love you. Come on, you can do this. And I thank you that your hope is so much stronger than the hope that we even have for ourselves, Lord. And God, I pray that even as we sing this song, for those who of us who are in need of healing or even contending for those things that we think about, that we thought about as we were talking, some of us who are jaded, God, I pray that you would heal us, Lord. Some of us whom are lazy, I pray that you would call us forth and that you would enable us, give us strength to do it when it's difficult. Some of us who are content, God, help us see the giver, you, who is so much bigger, so much greater, so much better, Lord, than everything else.